Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Welcome to Moe's.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. Live and on location tonight at the Brewhouse Cafe in Little Five Points. A beautiful evening sitting out right next to the patio after a great event that we had here at the Brewhouse celebrating the 10th anniversary of the announcement that Major League Soccer was coming to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Jason Longshore, and I will apologize up front for the disjointedness of this show tonight because it's going to bounce all over the place. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia match. We're going to talk about Cincinnati coming up this weekend. The 3-4-3 always. You know how the show is going to close out. But we're also going to bounce around to some memories as well of the last 10 years since Atlanta United wasn't even Atlanta United at the time. It was MLS Atlanta. Since then, that was unveiled on April 16th, 2014. And it's kind of fitting to be here at the Brewhouse, honestly. The Brewhouse, for so many people, has been an introduction point for soccer in Atlanta, whether you're a Premier League fan, whether you've come here to watch a World Cup, which is a spectacle that you must experience at some point in your life. And the one in 2026 is going to be even more special because there's going to be games down the street at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But the Brewhouse opened in 1998, and for me, when I moved into the city, I grew up on the south side of town, went to college at the University of Georgia, but when I moved into the city, and I'd been to the Brewhouse plenty of times before that, but the Brewhouse became a soccer hub for me, and we watched MLS games here, we watched Premier League games here, we watched World Cups here, and it's been that for so many people, and it was a big factor in creating the culture that led to Atlanta United being a success. You know, thinking back to that day 10 years ago, one, it was very, very cool that Don Garber and Arthur Blank arrived via helicopter for the announcement. That was pretty cool. That was definitely a very smooth move to launch everything. But it's a story I've told to a lot of people about that day, and something that will always stand out to me. I had had the privilege of getting to know Arthur Blank's foundation during my work with Soccer in the Streets up to that. So I knew what kind of a philanthropist he was. I knew how important he was to the city of Atlanta beyond being a philanthropist, being a businessman, and being a connector. Just like the Brewhouse has been a connector for soccer people in Atlanta for decades now, Arthur Blank has been a connector for the city. And one of the lines that always I remember from that day was the then mayor, Kasim Reed, saying that, and I'll paraphrase it, the red phone on his desk went directly to Arthur Blank. And I think what it did is it kind of reinforced how important Arthur is to the city of Atlanta. And by extension, how important Atlanta United is to the city of Atlanta. Now, some of you who maybe aren't deep into the soccer world like I am might wonder why the soccer team would be so important to the city and not the Falcons or not the Braves or not the Hawks. They're all important. I think professional sports is a very important part of bringing people together in a city. Those of you who have been here during Atlanta United's MLS Cup run in 2018, the Braves World Series wins, the Falcons going to Super Bowl, the Hawks run to the Eastern Conference Finals just a few years ago. When you've been through that, and whether you're recently new to Atlanta or you have grown up here like I have, that those moments are things that bring the city together, unlike anything else can. Professional sports is a huge part of the fabric of a city and the community and the people that make up that community. I think Atlanta United is very unique, and it is maybe even more vital in Atlanta's growth over these last 10 years in the sense that it has been an introduction point, not just to the rest of this country in terms of what Atlanta is and what an Atlanta experience is like coming to a game or watching a game on TV and seeing Atlanta. I think what Atlanta United has done for Atlanta as a growing international city has been an entry point to the rest of the world. And that's the power of soccer. And that's one of the reasons that I fell in love with it when I was a kid. And one of the things that has brought me so much joy in my life is bringing people from countries all over the world, from various backgrounds. It is a great uniter. And that's why the name United kind of works, huh? I know it's a name that is used in a lot of clubs around the world, but in the Atlanta sense of it, I feel like it was the perfect name. And I think the club has really grown into it as well. And it's been, I can't imagine it being anything else. It has been very special. And what we kind of got to talk about a little bit here tonight at the Brew House, and you're going to be able to hear highlights from it on the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast, that if you haven't subscribed from Atlanta United, please do. There's a ton of great episodes that have come out. Myself and Sandy McAfee have worked really hard on putting this together and telling the story of soccer in Atlanta. But, and there's a lot more to tell. We have plenty more episodes coming. But tonight, you're going to get to hear in the highlights from Greg Garza, who told some amazing stories about the very beginning days of his journey here in Atlanta. Our own Mike Conti talking about some of the stories that both he and I have experienced. And Chris Winkler, the head of communications for the club and has been here since before the first game, talking about, honestly, he's lived that story of being new to Atlanta and it becoming home because of this club. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast. There's going to be more episodes throughout the rest of the season. There'll be maybe some shorter ones, maybe some little focuses, maybe interviews with different people before we get back into the full-fledged, big, deep-dive episodes that'll come out in the off-season. Thanks to everybody who has checked that out, by the way. Just like thanks to everybody who subscribes to Off the Woodwork, where you get all of our content from 92.9 The Game, like Garth Lagerwey's interview from earlier today with Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia match coming up here next on AST. I'm Jason Longshore, and yeah, this is a little bit different kind of an episode because it will bounce around being the 10th anniversary of Atlanta United's announcement coming into the city before they were even Atlanta United. Just the fact that MLS was coming to town. We'll reflect more on that as we go. But we do have to reflect on the match from Sunday against Philadelphia because it was quite the experience all the way around. And I think I've still been trying to process it the rest of this week. And it's a match that, you know, if you've been around this game, you've lived this match either during your time as a player, as a coach, as a fan, where when you look back at it, there are so many good things that were done on the pitch on Sunday. I thought Atlanta handled Philadelphia's pressure incredibly well. I thought young players like Noah Cobb and Caleb Wiley really stood out to me with their maturity and their focus and their ability to deal with the adversity that Philadelphia creates. Oh, and they created it. And there was lots of that. And it's something that is very frustrating. And I know there is a philosophical debate about the right way to play and the wrong way to play and the way that you don't like and the way that you do like. And there's tons of that. I love those conversations. Obviously, you guys know by now where I stand on these sorts of things. I thought there was a lot of that extra in this match. And Atlanta honestly did not take the bait. And there were moments where they could have. And there were moments where things could have gotten out of hand. And they did not. However, it still finished as a 2-2 draw. And that's the part that's maybe a little bit hard to swallow with this match. Because Atlanta controlled the play. You know, I don't know how many minutes you want to quantify it as they were the better team. I said kind of tossing off 80 minutes. I don't feel like that's much of an exaggeration. I'm sure you could take it and split it into thirds and say that there's a large portion of the match that neither team really had control. But Atlanta had far more control of the match than Philadelphia. But this is the power of momentum. And it's the hardest thing to quantify. I don't think you can actually do it through numbers. And this has been kind of an ongoing thread of a conversation that I feel like I've had with a lot of different people really since the beginning of the season about the debate of quantifying this sport, soccer, through numbers. And can you do it? Can you do it through data? Does that tell the story? Or do you have to have a feel for what went well, what didn't go well? Or is there some middle ground between the two? I kind of lean to the latter, and I don't know exactly what percentage of which part to mix into that. But this was a game that feel was very important, and this is where you get into momentum. Atlanta United had control of the match. They had the two-goal lead. They've only lost one time at home with scoring two goals. They hadn't drawn many games at home before that, just over 10. And this one finishes as a draw because you allowed the momentum to get away from you. And it's a giveaway, and it's a mistake from Edwin Mosquera, and it's a mishit ball. I think he's trying to play that back to Brad Kazan, and he overhits it, so that puts a much bigger right-to-left bend on it. It hooks away from Kazan. It goes over the head of Noah Cobb. It's impossible to rescue, and Philadelphia, out of nowhere, gets a goal. And they get back into the game. We talk about a lifeline a lot of times in this sport. That was 100% a lifeline. The description I've had for people to try to describe how this game went is the dog meme with the little dog that is cowering in the corner. And then when something happens, the dog with big muscles. Philadelphia got some big muscles after getting that goal gifted to them. And Atlanta did not handle that well. And this is something that you have to find a way to improve on. When the momentum goes against you, which it will in a match, you can have more control of in a match than the other team, but there will be moments. Maybe you can't quantify it with possession. Maybe you can't quantify it with shots. It's a feel thing, but there will be moments where the momentum flips. How you handle those moments are as important as how you handle the moments where you have the momentum and you have to get goals to show for it. The momentum flipped very suddenly with that turnover and with that first goal from Philadelphia. And that is where you had to be a little more resolute. You had to find a way to kill the game, kill the momentum, slow the game down. That's not Atlanta style. That's not how they want to play. They always want to go find goal number three. And I love that about this team. And I love that about this team's mentality. But this was a moment where that mentality hurts you a little bit. Because you didn't try to waste time. You didn't go down and try to make the referee call the trainer out. You didn't send the ball into the stands. You didn't do those things that Philadelphia is oh so good at. And it gave them strength. And they're able to then find that second goal. And it's the second goal's got a little bit of controversy to it on the throw-in. And we talked a lot about it on the full-time report. I still think that Nathan Harriel stepped over the line. I think there is distance between his heel and the line. There's not much distance, but there doesn't have to be much distance. A few centimeters actually does matter in this case because of the way the law is written, just like a few centimeters matters on offside, which ended up hurting Philadelphia on what could have been the winning goal for them. I think he stepped over the line. I get how you could miss that. It sounds like there is the inability to look at this, even if it is the beginning of the attacking phase of play with video assistant referee. I think replay is something that is still growing in this game, and it needs to continue to be refined. That feels like something you should be looking at if it's a violation of the rules. If you can't, okay, whatever. If it's inconclusive, okay, whatever. It's still a great finish from Kai Wagner to put that in the back of the net after a good defensive header from Caleb Wiley. Atlanta did steady themselves. They had chances at the end. Saba Lobjanidze barely missed an opportunity to go ahead. It was a really interesting match in the sense that it's hard to quantify with numbers. We're going to try to do a little bit more of that quantifying after the break. We're also going to look ahead to FC Cincinnati coming to town. Doesn't get any easier for Atlanta United this weekend. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the 10th anniversary of MLS coming to Atlanta, something we've been celebrating all day if you're in the Atlanta United universe. I would love to hear from you guys out there listening. Tweet at me at Longshoe. Tweet at me at 92.9 The Game with your favorite memories from the last 10 years of MLS and Atlanta United being in town. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be back in 5 minutes on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and we are live on location tonight here at the Brewhouse Cafe in Little Five Points, one of the longtime hubs for soccer in the city of Atlanta. Special place to celebrate a special anniversary, the 10th anniversary of Atlanta United's founding here in town. It was announced that Atlanta United or MLS was coming to Atlanta on this date in 2014. And it's been a wild ride. We talked a little bit about that wild ride here at the Brewhouse tonight. Greg Garza, Mike Conti, Chris Winkler, supporters group members as well, telling their stories about these last 10 years. You're going to be able to hear the highlights of that on the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast from Atlanta United. Wherever you get your podcast, make sure you subscribe. So I'd love to hear your stories as well. I said it before the break. Tweet at me at Longshoe. Tweet at the station at 92.9 The Game. And tell us some of your favorite memories from Atlanta United's time here. It doesn't have to be the trophies. It doesn't have to be the big wins. It can be little things. It can be big picture things. Would love to hear from y'all. I'm at Longshoe 929 The Game as well. Okay, so we're going to talk about that again as we go tonight, but we also have to finish up everything about Philadelphia from the weekend and look ahead to Cincinnati this upcoming weekend. So with Philadelphia, I talked about momentum and the power of momentum in the last segment. This was a game that I think really encapsulated it because I did not see a way for Philadelphia to get back into this game until that giveaway from Edwin Mosquera. And I thought Gonzalo Pineda explained it really well in the post-game press conference. Mosquera is not trying to give the ball away there. He had just made a long defensive run and made a good defensive play and mishit a pass. And it was a risk-reward situation where the risk shouldn't have been as big as it was. It ended up being bigger because of the mistake. And Philadelphia finds their way back into the game. Okay. The response was the problem. And when you look at what you learn from this game, it's how you handle that moment where the momentum flips. That's something this team will have to do. It's something every top team finds a way to do. I really make the analogy a lot of times of a boxing match or in a UFC fight, a mixed martial arts fight. where you will have to hold on at times. And sometimes that's holding on till you get to the end of the round. Sometimes that's holding on just to steady yourself. That's the art that this team's going to have to learn. There's not a way to quantify it. There's not five clearances that fix it. There's not some magic thing to do. It is an art form. And it's something where your leaders, your experience, that helps you. I think Brad Kazan, Brooks Lennon become very important in these situations. We talked about it in New York City when the team fell behind in that match. It was Lennon, it was Kazan who brought the team together before the kickoff and I think really helped steady the ship. Maybe something like that. Maybe something like a big tackle to get the crowd back into it. Something. And that is going to be the next step for this team because as good as they are, and this is honestly the same conversation pretty much everybody in the Eastern Conference is having because no one is running away from the group. I think there's six teams that are better than anybody in the West, in the East. That means the margin's really thin. And that means these kinds of moments are going to determine having home field advantage in the postseason, being a real MLS Cup contender, or just being a really good team. This is a really good team. Philadelphia, I think, is a really good team. Cincinnati is a really good team. Columbus is the one, because they've got the last trophy, that maybe has that one step out in front. But they're not perfect either. So how do you fix it? I think, one, you just gain experience for your young players. Noah Cobb getting these games right now while Steon Gregerson has been injured. And Gregerson has returned to some work on the field this week. Getting Cobb those games will help him. It helped Caleb Wiley in 2022. Speaking of Wiley, continuing to get him more games. He is really growing into one of the top fullbacks in Major League Soccer right now and starting to put himself into the conversation about being a senior national team player. And it is that time, you know, for him. He might be the kind of guy who is playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium wearing the U.S. shirt this summer, or he might be one of the key figures in the Olympic team later in the summer. Getting those guys those games is important. You learn how to handle those moments. You learn how to handle when you get rocked. You learn how to handle when a mistake happens. It's very important. But this is a team that has that ability to, if they can learn that art form. And not every team has it mastered. Philadelphia is kind of the reverse, right? Where they're a team that thrives on momentum and they know how to manufacture momentum and they do a very good job of it. They don't often control games for long stretches of play. It is all about the momentum for them. That's what they've leaned into. There's times where that comes back to hurt you. There's no perfect way to play. There's no perfect way to deal with things in the sport. The more well-rounded you can be, the further you go. And Atlanta United is not quite there yet. The injuries haven't helped. Getting Yorgos Yakimakis back will be a huge help. And he has trained this week as well. Hopefully, he will be able to play a part in Saturday. I'm not expecting Steon Gregerson to be able to play a part in Saturday. You want to rebuild his fitness a little bit after the meniscus injury. Getting Sean De Silva back will help. Getting Derek Williams back will help. Getting Jamal Tiare back will help, although Daniel Rios getting into the mix and getting a goal, that's huge for the big picture of this team. I thought you saw Bartek, Sleash, and Tristan Muyamba really take a big step forward in their chemistry. I thought Sleash was the best we've seen of him in Atlanta. I thought Caleb Wiley had one of his best games in Atlanta. I thought Rios had a really good second half, even though fitness was becoming a huge issue for him. There was so much good to like about this game. I know in a Philadelphia match, we talk about the referees a lot. I don't really feel a whole lot differently than I did on Sunday when it comes to the referees. I feel like this is a recurring issue with matches against Philadelphia because they are so good at manipulating the way the game gets called. And I say manipulating very, you know, I stress that word here because they are so good at doing things that get the game called and played on their terms. They commit a number of fouls. They prevent you from breaking out in transition. They do a good job of that. They like to, and MLS did crack down on this for the post-match confrontation after the game where they crowded the referee, but they like to talk to the referee and they like to disagree with calls that get made against them or calls that they think they should have gotten that weren't called. They do a lot of that, and they do a lot of that very, very early on. And as I said on Sunday, I feel like what you see so often is a fatigue factor from referees in managing it. And I think match management, as much as we talk about referees and the PSRA members are back now, and these are the best of the best when we talk about referees in this country. And it is something that is, there needs to be improvement. And I feel like match management is the biggest issue that you need to see some improvement in. And again, just like momentum and just like handling momentum, it's a very hard thing to quantify because there is an art form to it. It's how you gain the respect of the players on the field around you. It's how you get them to believe what you're calling, how you keep things in check without just throwing a bunch of cards and throwing guys out. I feel like Philadelphia has figured out how to tilt the scales of that in their direction, and they do a very good job of it. And it's absolutely intentional. All these things don't happen by accident. It's working. I don't like it. And I think a lot of people in the league don't like it because I do feel like it is somewhat disrespectful to the game and the way that it should be played. It's something that I really hope can start to become a point of emphasis for the professional referees organization and the league to not allow referees to be bullied and intimidated to where the game starts to go the different direction. They're not threatening the referee. Don't get it twisted. Don't take a quote out of context. Don't take words out of context. You know what I'm saying here. They work the referees. We talk about this in basketball. We talk about this in the NFL. We talk about working the umpires in baseball. You do that to try to gain an advantage. And I feel like Philadelphia does that very well to gain an advantage. And this game kind of got called on their terms. And the time where it really flipped was when Jose Martinez was not sent off in the first half. He had gotten a very bad yellow card for shoving Slish late after the play. A pretty egregious yellow card. It's a yellow card. It's not a red card. Just a yellow card to me. Nothing violent about it. But after multiple times complaining about other calls, so it's not like he's trying to hide and be on a yellow and be a good student and not get in trouble. Call made. He picks up the ball and throws it into the other end of the field. Now, I don't know if everyone saw this on the broadcast. I don't think it got shown to a large degree on the TV broadcast. You saw it in the building, and it was shocking that that was not a second yellow card, especially for a player with a bit of a reputation and the egregious nature of the first yellow card to begin with and the continued conversations that happened after that. It was very shocking, and it's a very different game if at where the score was at that time, no score, if Atlanta has a man advantage the rest of the way. It's a very different match. We don't know how that match would have turned. Does Philly then just sit back and park a bus and try to get out of there with a scoreless draw? Potentially. We don't know. But that is a call, and I talked a lot about being able to justify calls. That's one you can't justify in my book. It's a yellow card every day of the week, and it was not this time. And it was a big factor in the match because it would have sent the match down a very different trajectory. It's a bigger factor than the offside goal that Philadelphia feels like they should have had. Jim Curtin was very vocal about that after the match. The offside modeling Twitter account that is usually pretty decent agreed with how I saw it. I thought the shoulder was offside, and they said, I think, by 9 centimeters in their modeling. That's pretty close. AR called it. You weren't going to overturn it with video assistant referee. The throw-in, I think he stepped over the line. It's very, very close. I don't think it's 9 centimeters. I think it's like 1 or 2. Doesn't matter how many centimeters. Is it over? Is it not? I think it was. Okay. Very, very close. The biggest refereeing issue in the match on Sunday for me was Jose Martinez not being sent off for a second yellow when in that situation, pretty much universal that you get sent off for a second yellow in that moment because that's a yellow card every time, and it wasn't this time, and it did have a factor in the match. There's no way around it. So Cincinnati, they have a player in Matt Miazga who can be very combative, controversial even. He will talk to the referees a lot. I don't think he's as talented at working the referees, though, as Philadelphia. Don't think they have a very high opinion of Matt Miazga after what happened in the postseason last year. So sometimes all that talking can come back to hurt you, and I think it does hurt Cincinnati and sometimes when this happens. I also don't think that back line is completely meshed yet. With Miles Robinson coming in, with DeAndre Yedlin coming in since the season started, it's a very good team on paper. Maybe a better team than they had last year, but it's not fully whole yet. It hasn't meshed. It's a little surprising that it hasn't, to be perfectly honest. Cincinnati's dropped some games this year that I've been a little surprised by. You got to deal with Lucho Acosta anytime you play Cincinnati, and he has always had big days against Atlanta United. He does such a good job of finding space on the opposite side of the play, and Cincinnati does a very good job of finding him when you least expect it. It's something that you have to deal with, and Brad Gazan talked to the media today and said this. You have to, even when you're attacking, know where he is, because you know then if you know where he's at, you know where Cincinnati wants to go, because they're always going to look to find him when they receive the ball and turn in transition. That's their first choice. If you know where he's at, you can take that away. You have to keep tabs on him at all times. If Atlanta United can do that, I think Cincinnati is more one-dimensional. If they don't, Lucho Acosta can ruin your day. We'll see if any of the injured players are able to get back and give you something in this, even if it's off the bench. I think the Slish-Muyamba combination is going to be very, very important here, especially dealing with Lucho Acosta. Daniel Rios being fitter, having more time on the field, very big. And it's something I talked about in the last match, and I'll end with this. The left side has to start to be somewhat as impactful as the right side for Atlanta United when they go forward. Lennon and Lobjanidze have been outstanding going forward. The left side, Wiley and Wolf here lately, you need more out of them production. If Wiley starts dropping bombs from distance, well, you're in good shape. You need more production from that left side. You're going to need it on Saturday against FC Cincinnati. Coming up next, the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. It's the 3-4-3 on AST, coming up in 5 on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. Final segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight for April 16th. A Tuesday night here in Atlanta. I am live at the Brewhouse Cafe in Little Five Points. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me. We have been celebrating the 10th anniversary of MLS coming to Atlanta on this day in 2014. It feels like forever ago, and in some ways it feels like it was just yesterday. City feels a lot different 10 years later. I think Atlanta United had a huge factor in that. And it's something that we had a chance to talk about here at the Brewhouse tonight with Mike Conti and Greg Garza and Chris Winkler from Atlanta United and supporters group members as well, about that impact and just how it's all come together. Favorite memories, different things from it. You're going to be able to hear some of that conversation on a podcast coming out on the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast. Get that wherever you get your podcasts. It's from Atlanta United. Myself, Sandy McAfee, have been telling the story of Atlanta soccer from the pre-World War I era up through the Atlanta Chiefs. We're going to get into the Atlanta Ruckus and Silverbacks eras, the Atlanta Beat, all of those things, and tell the story of Atlanta United. That's going to be an ongoing podcast series, but you'll hear the highlights from tonight's conversation on the 10th anniversary of the club's founding, officially anyway, or at least public founding. You can hear that coming up later this week on the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast. But now it is the time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's three local stories. It is four headlines from around the world and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Wasn't a fun time last night with Atlanta United 2 up in Kennesaw, a rare Monday night match against Philadelphia Union 2. And as I talked about in the last segment about Philadelphia and how they are very strategic in their, I said bullying, and that could be fair, but this game really felt like it in a way. The Philadelphia win last night, it was 5-0 over Atlanta United 2, but it wasn't really the distance of the scoreline that was what stood out to me. It was the way that the game just completely turned into a Philly game. Very physical, 40 fouls called, probably a few that should have been like a potential denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity foul that was not called as Luke Brennan broke through three defenders and was grabbed and then tripped at the top of the 18. A little surprising that one didn't happen. Could have changed the game. It was 1-0 Philadelphia at that point. Two absolute golazos from free kicks from Philadelphia Union. Two incredible goals. One great rebound put back as well. It's one of those nights at the office for Atlanta United too, but it was a game that the scoreline felt flattering to the Philadelphia side. It didn't feel as bad to the Atlanta side, but it definitely hurt to have that kind of a match after a three-week layoff as well. They will be back in action on Sunday afternoon in Kennesaw at 3 o'clock, an afternoon game on Sunday as they'll play FC Cincinnati too. Hopefully you can make it out. If you can't, you can listen to the radio broadcast on our Soccer Down Here Mixler channel, soccerdownhere.mixlr.com. Number two on the local side, two new call-ups to the U.S. U15 youth national team pool for an upcoming training camp. James Donaldson, goalkeeper with Atlanta United, who has been to camp before with the U15 national team, and Ivory Covington, who was a star at the most recent Generation Adidas Cup, especially in the match against Manchester United, which some of you had a chance to see on Apple TV. Great to see the young players in Atlanta United's academy start to get this recognition. And I have a feeling, and maybe I'm a little cynical about this, but the way that players have been identified for youth national teams in the past, it felt like a little bit of an old boys network and a network where coaches were based in certain parts of the country and you saw lots of players from those parts of the country called in. Lots of California players, lots of Northeastern players, lots of Philadelphia Union players, to be fair. Lots of very talented players. I've felt like some of the talent in the Southeast has been overlooked until later on or until they break into the professional side. Caleb Wiley is one who should have been called into youth national teams much earlier than he was. That's something that I think will change with the U.S. Soccer Federation being based in Atlanta. I think you will see more Atlanta United players get noticed at younger ages, which is a good thing for them. Can be a little bit of a challenge in getting guys signed to homegrown contracts if they're noticed at an earlier age. All told, a rising tide lifts all boats, and more U15 players getting called into youth national teams and getting that experience at a young age, it will help them along their professional player pathway once they get to that point. So big time congrats to James Donaldson and Ivory Covington of Atlanta United's Academy. Number three on the local side, the high school state playoffs are now underway in the Georgia High School Association. Started tonight all over the state with everything going on here. I do not have my score updates as I usually do. Some big games coming up this week to keep an eye on, and Hillgrove is one school to keep an eye on. They have a doubleheader tomorrow at 6 and 8. Both their boys and their girls are in the state tournament and both hosting tomorrow. A big game on the girls' side on Thursday as Lassiter travels to River Ridge, who is one of the top teams in the state. And some other games that I'm really intrigued by, some potential matchups, and I've had this conversation with a few folks who cover the high school game. 5A to me feels like the classification, it could have the most chaos. I think it has one of the most talented teams in the state, McIntosh, and it has a team that could be a bit of a sleeper in Dalton, who did not win their region, who will potentially see McIntosh in a quarterfinal if they both get to that stage. And if that happens, you will definitely want to see that game. It would be at McIntosh. It would be in Peachtree City. And that would be one that would be a must watch. This is the first week. Usually the first round, you've got a lot of mismatches with especially 1-4 matchups from region winners playing teams that just got into the playoffs in the last spot. You will see the matchups increase as we go. Stay tuned to everything that we do over at Soccer Down Here, our Soccer is in Session show, and stay tuned to Prep Sports Nation on Wednesday nights with Day Day. He will keep you up to date on everything happening in Georgia high school state playoffs that started tonight. All right, headlines. Four from around the world. We will start in the Champions League from today. And there was quite the crowd here at the Brewhouse for the Champions League matches today at 3 o'clock. Great spot to watch the Champions League tomorrow if you're looking to watch, I don't know, Bayern and Arsenal at 3 o'clock alongside Manchester City and Real Madrid. I mean, does it get any better than that? The Brewhouse will be packed for those. People were losing their minds here today for Champions League because the games were insane with Barcelona and PSG and Borussia Dortmund and Atletico Madrid. So coming into these games, Barcelona won 3-2 in Paris. They got the early goal. They were up 4-2 on aggregate in this match, and it completely flipped against them. PSG won 4-1 on the day, 6-4 on aggregate. You had a red card in the first half to Ronald Araujo. Didn't really love the call. I understand the call. You can justify the call. I felt like the attacker went down really, really easily. I didn't feel like it was enough contact to change the match in that manner. And then a penalty was given to PSG later when the game was still really teetering either way. And I felt like that was harsh as well. Again, this was a match where I feel like Barcelona didn't help themselves, but I don't know. And I was talking to Greg Garza about this tonight, and we were both kind of on the same page. I feel like the referee became a little bit more of the headline than you would like to see in this match. Ultimately, it's a 2-goal win for PSG, so you can say that it really didn't matter that much. It turned the game. When goals get scored, when decisions get made, and the effect that it has, it affects the momentum. It turns games. In this case, it absolutely turned it PSG's way. And Kylian Mbappe, you give him any inch to take some advantage of momentum, he's going to run with it. Borussia Dortmund ran with some momentum today as well. Atleti won their home leg last week. Dortmund won the home leg today, and they overturned to the 2-1 deficit. They end up going through 5-4 on aggregate in a wild back-and-forth match. Dortmund at home is a different animal in this competition. Going to be fascinating to see how they go. I mentioned it. Tomorrow's games, Bayern and Arsenal, that's 2-2 on aggregate. That'll be in Munich. Manchester City and Real Madrid, that's 3-3 on aggregate. That'll be in Manchester. Can't wait to see those games. You can watch them on Paramount Plus in English, or you could come up here to the Brewhouse Cafe and watch them as well. Highly recommended from me in that regard. Number two on the headlines, let's look at MLS, and a really important thing to get into because you're going to see a little bit of a change this week as the new off-field treatment and timed substitution rules take effect starting this weekend. Remember, they were piloted in MLS Next Pro. They were not brought into competition in MLS to start the season because of the referee lockout. I think that's the proper term. The referee lockout for the PSRA members. They didn't want to put the replacement referees into that situation. It will take effect starting this weekend. Off-field treatment rule allows medical professionals time to assess and treat players in a less pressurized environment. It also makes players get up if they're not really hurt, or they're going to have to stay off the field for 2 minutes. You will see players get up quickly. We saw that in MLS Next Pro last season. Time substitution rule. Got to be off the field in 10 seconds. If not, the player who's subbing in has to be out of the match and wait for a minute. Saw that happen last night where a player had to wait for a minute in MLS Next Pro. That will happen. You will also, you've already seen the stoppage time clock continue forward, but also beginning this weekend, this is a big one, video assistant referee decisions will be explained and announced by the referee to fans in stadium, which obviously broadcast viewers at home will get as well. Can't wait to see all this. Can't wait to hear all of the talk about all of this weekend in matches. Just keep that in mind. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It is the 3-4-3. I'm Jason Longshore. We are wrapping up. Couple more headlines. Bayer Leverkusen, just have to give them a shout out for their first Bundesliga title in a long, long time. Bayern Munich had won the Bundesliga the last 11 seasons, and Leverkusen has won its first trophy now since 1993. Xabi Alonso will be a manager wherever he wants to be. I think it's still going to be a Leverkusen, at least for another year. Amazing job, and I can't wait to see them in the Champions League next year. And I can't wait to see if they can do this again. And that's going to be the hard part, because it's one thing to get the first trophy. It's very difficult to repeat. Can Leverkusen do it? We're going to find out. I hope Xabi Alonso is there to do that. And then the last headline for me, IFAB. They are starting their trials next season in the fall in European leagues and other worldwide leagues. And I'll be curious to see if U.S. leagues like USL League One or MLS Next Pro decide to take up on this. Goalkeepers holding the ball. That rule change is being trialed that it will be moved to 8 seconds and instead of 6, but it'll actually be enforced. And the punishment will be either a throw-in level with the penalty spot, so 12 yards off the end line, or a corner kick. And leagues will be able to trial whichever one they want to try, and we're going to get all the data that comes in, and we'll see if this works. I'm fascinated by it. I think goalkeepers have been able to hold the ball for too long here for a while, and that's something that needs to change. I like that they're trying it. I want to see the effects of this trial and see how it works, because I don't know if that rule change is going to work exactly the way it's intended or if they should just enforce the rule that's already on the books. All right, three things that make me smile quickly about this game that I love so much. Number one, the El Clasico last Friday night in Gainesville between Johnson and Gainesville. We had the chance to call the matches for soccer down here, and they were incredible. The girls' match was a great win for Johnson, who has really developed into a great girls' high school soccer program. And the boys' match was one of the best matches I've ever called, whatever level. It was an incredible back-and-forth game with Johnson winning it 5-4 in extra time. You saw two great free kicks, one late for Gainesville to send it to extra time, and a great one very, very late in extra time to win it for Johnson. An incredible night in Gainesville. Over 1,000 people there. Great atmosphere. Had a blast. Thank you for having us. And if you get a chance to see games like this at the Georgia high school level, please do. Number two on things that make me smile, Caleb Wiley's continued development. That rocket from Sunday was an incredible goal, and it's been one of the missing things from his game. Can he start to give you more goals on a regular basis? I think he can. Now he's going to have the confidence to do it. And number three, the fact that I'm here at the Brewhouse Cafe. Our conversations tonight about 10 years of Atlanta United, 10 years of Major League Soccer in Atlanta. It was an incredible night to talk about it, to reminisce, to have the memory jogged a little bit on some things and tell some fun stories. I'm sure a lot of you out there have them. I would love for you to share them with me. Please tweet at me at Longshoe. As you're listening to this tonight, or if you're listening to this on the podcast edition, tell me your favorite memories about the last 10 years of professional soccer in Atlanta with Atlanta United. Saturday night, we're back with more Atlanta United. It's on 92.9 The Game starting at 6:30. Five Stripes Countdown with Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. Kickoff at 7:40 with Mike Conte and myself. The full-time report will follow the final whistle. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be back on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. Adios, everybody.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.